take the stage, Lord. I know it sounds strange, but I really can never do this without God. And that's the truth. And so I've learned that the CV, the records, the profile, they mean nothing to me. They're yesterday's story. That's just how I think. And what you've achieved by yesterday, if you sit on it, you can't achieve what tomorrow requires. So I've learned to let the Lord take control of every day because, you know, if you're still leaving, that means there's something God still wants to do. I do not want to miss what I need to do tomorrow because of the accolades of what I've done yesterday. Because it doesn't count anymore to me. If you still have life, then you still have assignment that is unfulfilled. And so that's what I'm focused on day by day. So I want the Lord to take the glory for every moment because it's His. I told Pastor yesterday that, look, I'm an employee of Jehovah. I work for God. So that's why I go anywhere He sends me. I don't care whether it's small, it's big. I can speak to 10 million people. It makes no difference. I can speak to 50 people or 10 people. Wherever the Lord sends me to, I will do it with the same passion because I don't work for you. I work for the Lord. And He pays me. And trust me, I'm a well-paid servant of the Lord. As in, God pays me well in His own way. So I don't look at one or the other. No. I just go where He sends me and I get the job done. So let's together ask the Lord to take the stage. Take the stage, Lord. Have Your way. I'm just a vessel, nothing more. And when You're done, please take the glory. I'm satisfied just to see You glorified. There's nothing that gives me more joy than to see that the things I will get to do on any day will bring the Lord glory. There's nothing that brings me more satisfaction to meet people whose lives, one way or the other, have benefited from the things that the Lord has sent me to do. Because then I know that He gets the glory as He deserves to. And I can continue to be a servant that is pleasing to Him. That above everything else is what I seek with my life. I want nothing else. My biggest dream in life is to die empty. Nothing left, no talent, no gift, no ability that I have not used for the Lord. Because in heaven there is no room for leftover talent. All I have to do is use it all because it was meant for me to use here. I want to be the servant that walks to the presence of the Lord and He says, "Thank you, my child. Because everything I meant for the world that I gave to you, you used. I want to come back totally empty." So when you see me driven or move, take a beg. Let's agree that we're going to work together. I don't have much time and I want to maximize it. So sometimes my friends say, "You're going to kill yourself, the pace at which you run." I just laugh. Me, I'm not dying before my time. And I know that I am following the Master's plan. So I want you to be conscious of that. If you hear nothing else this morning, just know your life is nothing except it serves the purpose of God. And no matter where your place of assignment is, just be free to run the race of your life. Your race is not against anybody. When people say you're competing, you're not competing with anybody. You're competing with the plan and the agenda of God for your life. That's all. So everything you will do, you have to understand exactly why you're doing it and who you serve. I serve the Lord and I'm here this morning to ensure that His name is glorified in that which He has sent me to do and in that which He laid in the heart of His servants to do for this house, which is the reason why He gathered all the people that He gathered. We're all at different ends of the instruction, but He gave Him an instruction. He found the people that the Lord led Him to. And as I and others will come, you will benefit from the grace of God that He has pulled together for this house. Father, we welcome You. We ask You to take complete and total control. We ask, Lord, that You and You alone be glorified. That when we're done, that let us be able to say we have been to the house of the Lord. And the Lord has blessed us exceedingly. Blessed be Your holy name. Sanctify my tongue, Lord. Fill my mouth as I open it. Let me speak no words but Your words. Let every life here be blessed according to Your will. Let them look and see that indeed You are God. I glorify You, Father. In Jesus' name I have prayed. Please be seated. I told Pastor yesterday I would spend all the time doing Q&A because I realized that churches, we preach so much at the people. They never get a chance to express their own opinion or where they're stuck. And a lot of times, even though you hear us, it is really about how you apply it. The application is what brings the result. And most people get stuck because they cannot unwind between the scripture, between what we're saying and where their life is. Sometimes you can't. And so I love Q&As. But I'll just do a quick ground laying and then we will go on. So if I seem a bit fast this morning, that would seem like I'm being like my Pastor Taiwo Odukoya because he was such a fast preacher. You know, but so please, bear with me. All right? Okay. I'll encourage you to just write some of the scriptures I'll give you down. Take some time yourself. You see, when you go to church and you listen to a sermon, you can listen, but there's a pace of movement of the man of God every time he's preaching. You know, he's not attending just to you. He's attending to multitudes of people, but laying the foundation of the scriptures as the Lord has led him. When you go back and you try to walk through it, you will have a better understanding of what's been taught. But more than that, is in your trying to understand it, you will get what is the personal picture for you in that scripture. Because, see, every scripture is of personal interpretation. The perfect book, the most perfect book in the world to me is the Bible. You know why? You can never finish reading it. It's not possible. If you read it 200 times, you'll have 200 revelations every time. Because the Lord will give you an exposition of an area. You know, when I'm reading the Bible, it's like, hey, God, hey, please, oh, have mercy. You know, you will just discover things. Some will excite you, some will scare you. And you're like, God, I beg. You know, but you'll also learn and know what you must never do. And one of it is never take God for granted. So I want you to write down 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. It's the story of Elisha and the widow. And I want you to read it because I don't have enough time. But you understand what is the story there. The widow, and what I want to talk about in a short while is about financial pressure. And I know a lot of Nigerians are under pressure right now. But I just want you to take in from the things we talked about yesterday, but also learning to link them to find the mindset with which you should approach the season. This woman was definitely under pressure. Her husband was dead. They had debtors. They owed a lot. They had problems. She didn't know what to do. She went to the man of God. For you, it's not just going to the man of God. It's you going to God. Because imagine all of you going to the man and the woman of God in this house. Will they have time to attend to their own life if they have to attend to every single life one by one? The reason they teach you is so that you can take it and run with it and apply it to your own life. This woman went to the man of God. You go to God in your prayers and understand that no matter what the situation is, God will make a way. You know, God always has a solution. And at the end of the day, the Lord will be glorified. And by following God's instruction, she got the solution that she wanted. But you know something you might miss there? The solution she got was to the extent of her preparation. How many of you know that if she got more vessels, she would have gotten more oil? So when we talked about preparation yesterday, it's for you to understand the opportunities that you will be able to take will be directly proportional to the level of your preparation. You cannot ask God to do his part without you doing your part. God has a part that he does, and God's part you can trust and consistent for all times. But you must do your part. Prepare for what you know you're aspiring to before God. Prepare physically, prepare spiritually, prepare academically. Prepare in your nature, in your relationships, in your contact. Make sure that the things you do qualify you in a sense. I'm not saying you're perfect for the job, but I'm saying that you are positioned in a way that when the Lord opens the door, they will not find you wanting. So we have a part. God has his part. You can trust that God will always do his part. But you do your part. And here, she wasn't as prepared as she should be. Or she was satisfied with less than God was able to do. Because sometimes, see, our vision is too small. Because we cannot see. Personally, if it doesn't scare me, it's not big enough. Why? Because it doesn't matter how little I think of myself. It matters that I understand that Jehovah God is the God of my provision. And there's nothing that scares God. And God's ability is what I am reliant on. Because my source is what? Is God. Luke 12, 15 says, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Now, even when you're in the season of pressure, do not desire the things you do because of your neighbor. Somebody else can be doing better than you. And you know what? In every season of challenge, there are people who are making their wealth for the first time. Because every season has victors. There is no war that within the war itself, there's no war economy. There's an economy of war, which means within the season of war, there are people that are prospering. Because there are benefits within. So don't get overwhelmed by the pressure and the challenges of Nigeria at this moment. You know why? Within the problems that we have right now, there are opportunities. What you need to do is ask the Lord to open your eyes. Ask the Lord that despite what is going on now, Lord, lead me, order my steps. Open my eyes to see. Do not covet what your friend has. Be happy for them, but be focused on yours. And in your focus, focus on God. Prepare yourself and ask the Lord to lead you to the place of your own miracle within the context of the pressure. Do not allow the financial pressure of this season to stop you from thanking the Lord for what you have. Because you know what? Look behind you. No matter how bad you think you are now, there's someone that's worse than you. And if the Lord has permitted you in this season, there's a miracle that he can yet do. So your mindset is key as to how you overcome the season of financial pressure. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, nor will I forsake you. It's difficult, but remember, God is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So learn how to be contented in the place you are now. You might not be satisfied, but you can be contented. Why? Because this is where the Lord has brought me now. And if I trust him, he has a reason for this season. And I will praise him, I will worship him, I will continue to do. I will not stop giving my tithe, no matter how small it is. I will not stop giving offering to the best that I can afford within that season. Why? Because if I have no seed on the altar, when the fire comes down, what will it bless? So don't get deceived by the season and cut yourself off from the things that are going on. Exodus 20:17 says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet his wife, his male or female servant, his ox and donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Same message for you from both. I just wanted to give you some content for you to work with. I'm going to run through this. Matthew 11:28 30 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the time of pressure, yes, we're all burdened left, right, and center. But don't look unto men. Look unto God. The Bible says that God rules in the affairs of men. If you look unto God, he will send you the men that you need. So just don't mix them up. Oh, I'm hoping this brother in church will be. You don't know what the brother is going through. The brother or the sister might not tell you their own story. They might still look good to church every day. Maybe clothes they already had in their wardrobe. But you don't know what they're going through. So, and when people don't meet your expectation, you then become bitter and upset. No. They're not your God. Focus on God. You went to pastor, you should do this. Imagine if everybody in church went to pastor to help everybody in church. How? It's not possible. So remember who your source is. Jehovah is your source. Focus on him and don't take your eyes off him. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. So don't lose sight of what is important within where Nigeria and the world is right now. The whole world is under pressure. It's not a Nigerian thing. The world economy is distressed. And we have a lot of what you call, I don't know, strong-headed, angry men in control of the world, and they're causing problems. But anyway, God help us. That's why we have to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Assess your situation. Do a self-assessment of your situation. Proverbs 27:23. Know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds. Understand your own situation. Face your reality and plan within your reality. Because a lot of times we like to operate in denial. Which means we do not face our situation. You're planning a wedding, but you plan a wedding as if you have 100 million. Yet, you don't even have the first 1 million. How does that make sense to you? God will provide. That's what? Yes, God can provide. But first plan for your 1 million. And let the Lord surprise you with 99 million. You know, plan for the hall and everything as you can afford. Because you're trusting the Lord. What are you looking for? The glory of the Lord in this situation. Don't go and rent a 5-bedroom house when you cannot pay for room and parlor. You know, and in church, we cause trouble. Because, you know, one young man wants to get married, he and his girlfriend. Okay, fine. Wish them well. But they cannot even afford rent. Why are you people getting married if you can't even afford rent yet? It means you're not ready. You need to prepare yourself. And then they're looking for who is going to pay for a 3-bedroom flat. Okay, pay for it. When the rent expires, who is going to pay the next one? You? That's not realistic. We're not honoring God. We're just embarrassing God. Live according to your pocket and let the Lord lift you up. The Bible says that God is the glory and the lifter of your head. Wait for the moment that the Lord will reveal that from one room, you move to a 5-bedroom flat. And everybody will be able to see the truth of the trail of your success. Don't make a self-assessment and make a true, a realistic plan according to where you are. Let the Lord move you. Let all world will be able to testify. John 7:38 says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. If you trust God, you will still be able to worship him in your situation, no matter what you do. And we have to learn to plan. I want to get married. I'm not ready. Don't marry yet. Nothing says you cannot continue your relationship. Why? A lot of you just want to get to the sex very quickly. So you're in a hurry. You want to get married when you're not ready for it. Even the girl, you're stupid. Why are you marrying if between you and the guy you're not ready? You're going to end up fighting. Go and check every home that there's a lot of pressure and fight. Half the time, the money, the fight is about what? Yeah. So let's be honest with ourselves. You need to plan. And you cannot say that the guy is the one that needs to provide. No. In 2025, it's a combined effort. So you have hands, you have legs, you have head. Get walking. God didn't make dummies. He provided both of you to be support for one another. Go and read the scriptures. Every promise of blessing you find in the Bible is for male and female. Wherever the soles of your feet shall touch, he has given to me for a possession. Male and female. Whatever I put my hands to, the Lord will prosper. Male and female. You will possess the earth. You will have dominion. No man will be able to take control of your life. Every promise of the Bible is for all the children of God. So walk together as a team. Plan together. Luke 14:26 says, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? If you plan to get married or to start a business that you know that you have not counted. See, you can plan a business in the highest level. That's a business plan. You know, every business plan works on paper. Every business plan works on paper. Have you ever seen a business plan that goes to failure? No. Every business plan is profitable on paper. However, the reason it's profitable is there are so many assumptions. Assumptions are not necessarily true. It's only when you get to reality that you will know if the assumptions are true. And the Bible says, do not despise what? The days of humble beginnings. There's a reason why the Bible said so. Do not despise the days of humble beginnings. Because there's nothing wrong with starting your business small. It's actually an advantage. If you start small, you get a chance to prove all those assumptions to be true or not. If they're not true, you will adjust them accordingly. If you lose anything because of that, your losses will be minimal. If you've set up large and your assumptions are wrong, your losses will be huge. You will end up abandoning the business. You will think it doesn't work. Somebody else will do it and they will succeed at it. Because there was nothing wrong with the idea the Lord gave you, but you didn't execute it in the right way. The execution is yours. The ideation is God's. And the trust of God is yours. So you have to understand, God doesn't cause confusion. Read the scriptures. There are guidelines. Everything God even tells you. You know, show me a man that is diligent in his ways. Show me a man whose honesty is manifested in how he does things. Show me a man that is selling and is cheating and see where he will end up in destruction. There are scriptures for everything that you can do. Just go and find them. Explore them. Take responsibility for whatever your situation is. Maybe you've messed up. Yes. Okay, own it. Apologize where you need to apologize. Correct where you need to correct. Go back and reset. You might have made wrong moves. It's okay. People make mistakes. Life is full of errors. And we learn. But our learnings are powerful because they teach us things we might not be able to learn any other way. So don't die in your mistakes. Take responsibility and adjust as is possible. Read Romans 13:7. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to throw you scriptures now. Read Romans 13:7. Read Luke 16:11. Then, of course, seek the face of God. When you're choosing people, I want to choose, I want you to be my mentor, I want you to be this, be careful. Everything that glitters is all gold. And every man that is successful is not your own mentor. Ask the Lord who he has called to you. And the thing is, there isn't one perfect man or woman. No matter what you see, there's some things about them that might help you, but it might only be a part. So learn to find your learnings in different places. And be sure your values are aligned. Be sure that what you want is what they want. Because money is not the end result of righteousness. That's just the truth. There are many people that have money by unrighteous acts. And there are many people that have it in righteousness. So be sure who you are following. Be sure that the Lord has called them to you. Seek them. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Be sure who you're listening to. Because you know what? Corruption also cometh by hearing or seeing. Hearing or seeing by the words or images of iniquity. You saw your friend 5 years ago, you were both in Ibadan. The next time he came, he was driving a Rolls Royce. You think God is crazy? He's not. He's made money. You want him to show you how. You better be careful what he will show you. Because you really don't know what you think you know. Whose template do you follow? Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen to me. If you're following God's template, there will be trials and afflictions in some of the cities. Because we tend to think, oh, this perfect gospel, because I'm a child of God, everything should work for me. Something must be wrong if something is not working. Who says? Did Job commit any sin? He did not. Did he even do anything? Nothing. God was just boasting about Job. God allowed Job to suffer just to prove to the devil that Job is someone that he trusts and he loves. Period. So Job's suffering was for God's pleasure. He was not lost children, lost houses, lost everything. Yet he committed no sin. So who are you to judge another person's season? And who are you to even assume your own season? It's because God does not exist. The Bible says our light afflictions are but for a moment. They worketh for us an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The Bible says in the world we will see troubles. But know ye that what? That you are an overcomer. The Bible says you are more than conquerors. Why will he call you more than conquerors if there's nothing to conquer? If there are no battles to fight. So it's part of the terrain. How do we show the glory and the power of the Lord if we don't fight battles and win? How did the whole world become afraid of David? He was a man of wars. He fought many battles. Got traumatized in some cases. Lost wife and children. But at every point, God showed he was with him by granting him victory. Even though David was not a perfect man, but yet the grace of the Lord was upon him and he helped him all the way. So be careful of the template you're following. Is this scriptural? The examples you're following. Remember when Job was in trouble, everybody had an opinion. Be careful about the opinions around you. Because people will tell you what they think. They're not your God. Go back. What is God saying? What does your season represent? Not their opinion. Remember, curse God and die. Job refused. Why? The Bible says, they that know their God, they shall be strong and they will do exploits. My question to you today, in your finances, in your life, do you know God? Do you know God? Do you understand his ways? Do you understand his plan? The Bible says his thoughts towards you, they are thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end, an end in which only God will be glorified, an end that God already designed. How do you understand something except you go to the one who designed it? You are building a house. Every time they run into trouble, who did they go to? The architect. They go and ask him, what was your intention here? We have a problem here. How do we go past this to get to where we're going? The architect will tell you why he put that pillar there. You cannot touch this. This one is structural. You cannot do this. This one is this. This one was put here in order to support this. There's a reason. Every time you run into trouble, you run to your designer, the guy who designed your life. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Life is ruled by wisdom. Everything submits to wisdom. Who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. When you go to God to ask, you must trust him. When you trust God, you wait for him. Because sometimes it will not be so clear. Sometimes you will not understand. You know, when we were going through our first bank crisis, the Bible says, having done all, stand. I knew my journey. I knew how I'd worked. I knew how I walked in the place that I sat. And I knew that as a child of God, I was standing on my feet. I knew that I was standing in the purpose and the assignment of God for my life in that place. And I knew I fought every battle in the name of the Lord. I fought it for the integrity and the righteousness of the kingdom. So the Bible says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So as painful as the situation looked, I went to God and said, you have a problem. It's not mine. You better solve it. Because it's your name, not mine. My name is linked to yours. My testimony is yours. So solve this problem because I know you know. I got to church. This was a Thursday, Friday. I got to church on Sunday. You know, God bless my pastor. The first thing he did, I watched first service virtually. And as I got into second service, he had announced to the entire church that, look, I know what has happened between First Bank and Central Bank, but I know that woman, and I've known her for all her years. I'm her pastor. I know who she is. I know what she will do, and I know what she will not do. My entire church was standing. We're a church of about 8,000 people. Was standing and clapping. All I could do was cry. Then I walked into church in the second service. He was repeating the same thing when I walked in. And, you know, you don't know how much you're loved and supported until your moment of trial. And God bless my pastor. But that day, we had a session in church and I picked a promise. We have this culture of promise, which is scriptures in our church. When I picked that promise, it was Psalm 3:3. I am your glory and the lifter of your head. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to fast for the next 21 days. When I'm done, I'm done. Go and solve the problem. I did. But within it, just at the end of it, my pastor was preaching, was walking around. He just stopped, sat beside on the arm of my chair and said, Pastor Blessing, the Lord says I should tell you, he's your glory and the lifter of your head. Do not defend yourself. I said, I said, do you know what promise I picked at Discovery? He said, what? I said, Psalm 3:3. He said, Otiton, and he continued. I reminded him on my 60th birthday, as we were preparing for my 60th birthday service. I said to him, Pastor, remember what you said on this day? He said, you know, I've forgotten. I just delivered a message. Because between then, which was about 2 years gap, the Lord had done some amazing beyond I cannot even begin to tell you. There's no room for the testimonies here. Those that know me well have ideas. But there's so much the Lord has done in my life beyond and after. And the truth, you know, Yoruba people say that Irole lologun odun abi otitombo wa kojai. We didn't have to wait for 21 years. It didn't take 2 years for the whole country to become awake to the truth we knew for which we were fighting, but which for the sake of a country we could not see. Because we would have thrown the financial system into chaos. So all I'm saying to you is this. Know ye thy God. Know your truth. Leave it. So that in the season of troubles, you will be able to stand. You will be able to stand before God and say, Father, every metal. And God will be able to fight for you like Job. His friends thought otherwise. But God knew him. And God protected him and saw him through. So, let the wisdom of God. In conclusion, Philippians 4:67 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, which is what I just explained to you. Oh, I was upset, I was angry, but I knew that I only had one place to go to the place of God. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Haggai 2:7 says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. Everything you seek belongs to God. And you are a child of God. Talon jogun eni bi osomo eni. If what you want belongs to your father, why are you killing yourself trying to go and take illegal copies from places where God is not? Because everything else that you would take and get outside of God will destroy you. When the Lord blesses you, the Bible says the blessings of the Lord, they do what? They make us rich. They had no sorrow. Proverbs 10:22. Just remember, you don't want wealth or riches, or financial resources that don't come from God. And you cannot get them outside of God and his ways. So even when the world tests you, pay the price for the season. because the Lord will pay you at the right time. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares. Yes, it's a pressure time, but just remember, God neither sleeps nor slumber. His eyes are on what? They're on you, running back and forth to do you good. His thoughts towards you, the Bible says, they are thoughts of what? Thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to what? An expected end. An end in which we will be glorified. So self-interest will ensure that God looks after you. Because when the chips are down, the one who gets the glory is God. The story of my life cannot be told without God. I make sure of that. Apart from the fact that it's written on my forehead, I can enter any room and manifest the grace and the talent of God in my life. I do not have to say I'm a Christian in that room. But by the time I am done in that room, you will know. That's who we are. Ambassadors of the kingdom. Ambassadors of God in the marketplace. You want God to commit resources to his hand? Convince him that you're a worthy ambassador. Convince him that he can trust you with it. Convince him that you will not lose your salvation when he commits resources into your hands. Because he'd rather keep you poor and saved than rich and destroyed. What is his benefit? The entire agenda of the Bible is the salvation of souls. That's all. So whatever it is that you want from God, if you are not going to stand in salvation in it, God is not going to give it to you. So those are the hard facts. Let's reorganize our mind and ourselves and go to the Lord and say, Father, I'm a willing vessel. Etu mitu, etu mishe. Shimi loju, etu misono. Show me the way to go. Help my heart to be right for you. Help my heart to align with yours. Then lead me in the way that your name will be glorified. Father, we worship you. Lord, let's go to Q&A now.